be able to do this.
Taysom comes out of here, and you know, I'm a dad, I can tell. Something's up. Something's going on. What's wrong? You okay? I'm okay. All right, I'm going to say, and I look back at him and I say, what is it? It starts coming down his cheeks, and he looks right in my eyes, and he says, this is what he says. He said, Daddy, I can't wait to die so I can be with Jesus. And I said, not today. He gonna have to wait. I'm not done. Okay. But whatever questions I had, because it's your kid. Whatever questions I had about here, I don't. He doesn't need to get it all today. He understands exactly what's happened between him and God. And he and God are good with that. Maybe better than most of us right this minute. Most of us need to be right where he is right now. All right. So, this is why we do what we do. And because in a few weeks, or at least a month, I'm going to be, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be preaching another sermon about peace. I'm not going to shy away from this morning, but I want to take what God is doing here, the whole G family, and I want to pull you back into this Beatitudes thing. Jesus is taking his first opportunity to really speak into his people, okay? And as I began, we began with some very tough things. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. And after we got through that, and we bounced to the next one, I began to play out for you how the pattern of these was as important as each individual one of these, okay? So you have three that are kind of, they are the way we need to be, okay? But they're prior to the one that says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, all right? Blessed are those, all right? And then we get, blessed are the, you know, pure in heart, all right? Blessed are the merciful. Blessed today are the peacemakers. So what happens is there is a transition that occurs. And this in and of itself is the reason that Christ came. There are those whose hearts are lowly, who are mourning, who are meek, who are broken. And there is a time in each one of our lives where we have to come to a place, not where we just get baptized, not where we just get in church, not where we just get saved, but when there is a literal hunger in us, a thirst in us for this God, one that would make us say, I'm good now with all that I have here. I'm good if I could be with that Jesus now. There's got to be an overwhelming thing that happens in you. And then this Christ that came changes you. And you need to hear what I'm going to say right now. There is a problem with the relationship. There is a problem with the transformation. There is a problem with the pipeline between you and the Father. You listening? If there is no change. If we don't get from who we used to be through what happened to us to who God wants us to be, that is an issue, and I refuse to stand in front of you and be someone who counts baptisms, who counts salvations, who counts how many people are in Bible study, who counts how many people in church, and we do not have substantive change in the lives of the people in this room. If our businesses aren't more moral, if our marriages aren't more stable, if our children aren't becoming more like Christ, then there is a problem in the process. There is a problem in the process. And you have got to understand that when God says this morning, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be sons or daughters of God, He is talking about the right, the honor, the privilege that we have of being called His. At the same time, He is saying there are expectations of those whom I call my own. You hear me? There are expectations. And for me not to preach that would be sinful. It would be sinful. For me to butter you up, what do they call it? Tickle your ears every Sunday so that you heard what you wanted to hear and maybe were challenged and got to shake my hand. Seriously? Within what we're going to talk about today, there is a requirement of you to let go of who you are and become something different. Because if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. If the old is not gone and there is no new, has there been a transformation? And if there has been no transformation, then the next question is, who's at fault? The God of the universe that never fails, or you? And then the question is, why have I failed? And do I want to, pardon the word I'm going to use, but it's exactly what I want to say. Do I want to unfail? It's not a word, but it is now. Do I want to unfail? Okay? Because we have a choice. We have a choice. When we recognize our failures, we can be stressed out. We can be anxiety-ridden. We can be shamed. We can be embarrassed. We can become weak. We can run over in our mind how we can do all kinds of things differently. There is 100 million things that begin to go on inside of us when failure occurs in our lives. And guess what happens? The Jesus that is in you becomes at war with all of these things, like anxiety, like weakness, like fear, like shame, like guilt. And guess what's going on? There is a war going on. Let me say it another way. There is a conflict going on inside of you. Let me ask you a question. Is that peace? See, oftentimes we think about peace as not conflict between me and Brother Steve, not conflict between me and Jimmy. It's got to begin with the conflict inside of you. The real triumph in blessed are the peacemakers. The real victory, the real blessed, all right? The real deal there is when you allow God to be the Prince of Peace, a God of peace, the peacemaker in your life. And then what happens is the same thing when we talk about mercy. You can't receive mercy if you don't know how to give mercy, because you don't get the concept of mercy, and even if God gave it to you, you wouldn't know what it was. Same thing here. You aren't able to have peace with all those around you because you are unpeaceful inside of you. And from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You ever heard the phrase, angry or been hurting people hurt people? It's a psychologist, counselors, people use it all the time. Hurting people hurt people. Why? Because it's what's happening in your heart. So this whole process of blessed is the peacemaker begins with the truth of the salvation experience. the truth of what God does inside you to remove your guilt, to remove your pain, to remove your doubt, to remove your hurt, to remove your hopelessness, to remove all of the things that He is not, and pour into you the things that He is, so that your heart is at peace, not absence of conflict, but more in harmony. Okay? Think of peace more like a harmonious relationship. The love and the joy and the hope that's in your heart is not at odds with the insecurity and the anxiety and the fear in you. Okay? Allow God to do what He does, to wash you white as snow, to be the great physician and to heal you, to be the Prince of Peace and to offer that to you. And that will in turn overflow from you into the relationships that you have. Well, you say, I am in general nice to the people around me. I am nice to the people who are nice to me. The Bible says, if you love those who love you and help those who help you, what credit is that? For even sinners do the same. Evidence of a changed heart is not simply cordialness to the people who are in your everyday life. When you are confronted, when you are head to head with somebody who vehemently opposes you, you'll then know whether there is peace in your heart and whether there will be peace on the outside. When somebody ticks you off, how you respond, that is whether or not there's peace in your spirit. And here's the thing. The church has experienced this in overwhelming amounts. Not just our church. Our church is like a darn poster child of this. It is. But we are not the only ones. See, here's the thing. I don't think conflict just arises because we disagree. I think conflict arises because there's conflict within you. And that conflict overflows. And you say something you shouldn't, you experience something you shouldn't, you do something you shouldn't to someone else, and that causes disharmony between you. Okay? That is not peace. All right? How you react and how you respond to that situation will let them, the world, everybody around you know whether there is something new, something transformed, something different in your life or not. Okay? And the problem is we want to say, listen, preacher, I know that you are preaching the truth right now, but you don't understand who it was that hurt me. Okay? You don't understand what it was that they said. You don't understand how it was that they dealt with me. I don't understand. Guess what? It is not up to me to understand because it's not my words that are calling out to you. You take some time, stare into the eyes of God and tell Him what He doesn't understand as the nails went in His hand. What He doesn't understand as the nails went in His feet. What He doesn't understand as they poked the spear in His side. What He doesn't understand as He carried His cross. You look Him in the eyes and you tell Him what He doesn't understand when He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They haven't been changed by me. And if your actions show anything else, I'm looking at you and I'm saying, you haven't either. That's what we do. Yeah, tell them. Craig, that sounds harsh. That's like you just came out of the battle rams and armor and swords. Can I ask you a question? Was anybody paying attention when we went through the book of Joshua and Judges? Most of those chapters ended with some phrase kind of like this. And they experienced what? Peace. What happened right before that? some champion took them to war. Okay, then I'm declaring war. As the one called to be the champion of your hearts, right here in this place, I'm declaring war. I'm declaring war on your fear. I'm declaring war on the people who are tearing into your marriages. I'm declaring war on your bitterness. I'm declaring war on your disgust. I'm declaring war on your pain. I am declaring war on everything that is causing unrest in the lives of God's children in this house. I am declaring war against it. I am taking into battle the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and I will win. The only way this turns out the other way is if you don't allow it. Because if we take this head on, if we take this head on, Jesus wins. Every time. Unless you choose otherwise. We are in a fight, folks. A daily battle. Not with one another. And our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. We are in a war every day. And with Jesus, we absolutely will come out on top. And when we allow Him to change us from the inside out, we will experience a peace and a comfort and an overwhelming joy in our lives. And when that overwhelming joy in our lives comes out on the other end, when you wake up in the morning and you have a plan, and that plan does not work out, okay? And you want your Starbucks, and you get an empty baptismal, and you want warm water, and you get ice cubes in your jaws, okay? And you know, and when you want to, everything to work out okay, and it's just not, you have a choice. You lash out, or you say, join the world! I can say, man, I don't want to ruin Sam's baptism, or I can say, Sam ain't never going to forget that baptism! It's a choice. And it's really a choice between conflict and harmony. I will choose to love my spouse. I will choose to love my friends. I will choose to love my church. Or I will not. And here's Satan's thing. He's only going to make you mad about one little thing. That's it. He doesn't have to get you all peeved about abortion or homosexuality or politics. He can get you peeved about work. He can get you peeved about church starting on time. He gets you peeved about red lights and traffic. All he's got to do is get you peeved about one little thing. And his hope is that you'll react one way wrong. And then the person outside of you will react another way wrong. An employee doesn't show. Somebody steals from you. Somebody takes from you. Your reaction is priceless. Why? Because your reaction says everything the world needs to know about God. And then Satan wins, and I'm going to tell you why. Because of one of our core values. Because of one of our core values. One of our core values is the unity of the body. And I have contended time and time again that the greatest single evangelistic witness that the Church of Jesus Christ has is its unity. And if Satan can make a red light make you angry enough, or a coffee pot make you angry enough, or starting on time or late make you angry enough, or somebody not showing up to work their place make you angry enough. If one little sickness or one little thing can make you angry enough to lash out at your brother, then lash back at you, and there's disunity in the body, then what the outside world sees is, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to be a part of something that screams salvation, that screams hope, that screams peace, that worships a God of peace, and that acts that we have is our disunity. The thing that turns people off the most is that we can't get along. And that does not start with who's here. Well, I just don't like her. If she's not here, it's going to be, oh, that's not even, that doesn't even do with her. It's all you. It's all you. Because Jesus didn't care if you were a priest or a prostitute. he loved. And he came to bring peace. And peace is not the absence of war. We're going to get way into this in another month. Peace, harmony of the soul. When everything that you're doing, your words, your actions, the overflow of your spirit, is the melody and the harmony and the unity of life coming out and celebrating that together. And we celebrate when others celebrate. And we get on the ground when others fall. And we're doing it all together because nothing will take away our peace. May your motto this week be this: not today, Satan. Not today, Satan. Today I choose love. Today I choose forgiveness. Today I choose hope. Today I choose all the fruits of the Spirit. Today I choose for you not to win. Then you give him a wink and you just say, Prince, peace. He lives in me. And greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be sons of God. Why? Because when God comes in and creates peace, this is the essence of the salvation process. When peace occurs in your spirit between your sin and God's grace, the grace of God wins. Peace reigns in your heart, even for but a moment, and you become a child of the King. One of the results of hungering and thirsting for righteousness is a peace, an overwhelming peace, a peace greater than death. And that peace will out anxiety, stress, fear, hatred, will not.